To bring a message, Lord willing, out of the book of Song of Solomon. I want to look at chapter 4, three verses there, 7 through 9. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, 7 through 9. And can I get a volunteer to pray for me tonight? I mean, possibly tonight. Do you pray for me while I'm preaching? Thank you for that. Thank you. Pray for me while I'm preaching tonight. I need your help. Well, with yesterday was being Valentine's Day and all, and I was searching for the message the Lord would have me preach, and I've been searching all week long. And I had something that I thought the Lord wanted me to preach today, and He changed it. And after I was almost through a whole sermon getting prepared for it, and so I kept praying about it. And with yesterday, of course, was Valentine's Day. And a lot of people had all that on their mind. Everybody was thinking about that. And it's a time you come together as sweethearts. You give each other gifts. You give each other candy and flowers and things like that. And that's always a wonderful thing that we can show our love to each other here on this earth. Now, you know, I don't know the origins of Valentine's Day or any of that stuff, and that's not anything I want to get into tonight. But we always celebrate it because we celebrate our love together, not necessarily who Valentine was or whoever that was, Saint Valentine. But we enjoy sharing our love for each other, and I had that on my mind, and I started going through the scripture and praying what the Lord had me to preach, and I got that thought on my mind about that love, that deep love that, you know, you can know between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. There's a deep love there. But then I started seeing through God's word about this other love that the Bible speaks of all through here. And I've said this before, but the entire Bible is one big love letter from God. All the way from the front to the back, there's a crimson thread that runs all the way through the Bible, and it's His love letter to us. I was thinking about me and Mary being together for 32 years now. We've been married 30 years, and we dated for 2 years. So we've been together for 32 years celebrating Valentine's today together. And I started thinking about all the hard times and the trouble I put her throughout those 30 years, and how much she's had to love me to put up with me all that time. But I started thinking about how much that love was. But then I started looking at this love that the Lord has for us and how much even deeper that His love is than the love between a man and a woman. And, you know, as a pastor and a preacher, we often have to preach a lot of messages that deal with, you know, sin and living right and all the things the Bible calls out that the Lord hates. We spend a lot of time preaching on that, and it seems like a lot of times we don't preach a lot on love. And, I love to preach about God's love, because even though knowing His hatred for sin and knowing that we will be rebuked for it and knowing how much He despises sin, He still loves us. And through His love, He has forgiveness for us. And He said that if we would come and we'd ask Him forgiveness, that He was faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. And He loves us that much. So if you have your copy of God's Word there, let's look at Song 4, 7 through 9. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, 7 through 9. And here the Bible says, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana and from the top of Shinar and of Hermon, from the lion's dens and from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravaged my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck." Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, help me be able to preach what you would have me to preach. Lord, let me stand boldly and have power and wisdom. Lord, thank you for those that are here, Lord. Please open their hearts and minds to receive your word, and may it be blessed by you tonight. For these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're all familiar with John 3:16, and I know I often quote that scripture because I love it so much. It's probably the greatest verse in all the Bible of God's love that shows His love for us. That is one of a great scripture in the Bible, but here in the Song of Solomon, this is a book that, quite honestly, most people skip. Most pastors and preachers don't preach in this part of the Bible simply because they don't look at it from the right viewpoint. Now, the Song of Solomon, of course, we realize it is a song, a poem, if you will. It's poetry, kind of in song form, between a husband and a wife. But we don't need to look at it through our fleshly eyes tonight. It's really not about that. What it really is about is God's love for His people, Christ's love for His church. And we need to look at it through spiritual eyes tonight and not fleshly eyes. But the way I want to look at it tonight from my viewpoint of, and I know it's going to embarrass Mary tonight, but I'm going to use our love and our marriage and our relationship in conjunction with God's love and for the church and for His people throughout here tonight. And she had no idea I was going to do that. But this book, of course, was written by Solomon, King Solomon, the son of King David. And he was the human penman. He was inspired by God, just like all Scripture was inspired by God. And you have to view this book much like you do Hosea. It's a real, true story, but it has God's purpose upon it. God's viewpoint is throughout it. So you have to look at it with both your earthly eyes and your spiritual eyes to get the deep meaning of it. God said that Solomon was a man with more wisdom than any other man before him or after him. He was a very wise man. We know that. But as we look at the spiritual meaning of this, I want us to think about that. And I want us to look at verse 7 again and think of it in the terms of the Lord speaking to you, you that are saved. He says in Song 4 and 7, "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee." Well, if you're like me, you read that passage of Scripture and you say, "God, really? Me? You see me that way? You see me as fair? You see me as not having a spot?" Because quite honestly, God, I know me. I can look in my heart. I know the thoughts in my head. I know sometimes the things that I do and the transgressions that I commit against you, the sin that is in my heart and my life and through times of my life. And God, how can on earth could you call me fair or without spot? But I want you to know tonight that is exactly, if you're saved tonight, that's exactly how God sees you tonight. He sees you as fair and without spot. He sees you as cleansed and whole and pure and lovely tonight. He sees you in an eye that you don't see other people and you don't see yourself. You can't see yourself like God sees you. He sees you inside and out. He knows everything about you. And just like you know all your thoughts, you know all your wicked ways, you know every little recess of your heart, God knows you that much and more. Listen, in Hebrews 4 and 12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." That passage of Scripture has often brought me both being uncomfortable and has brought me great joy. It makes me uncomfortable to know that God knows me more than I know myself. And He knows me as much as I know myself. It gives me great joy knowing that He does know me. And even though He does know me, He still loves me. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I mean, can you imagine having the kind of love that God has? You know, down here you can do something and somebody gets mad at you. One minute they tell you they love you, the next minute they hate you. And that's our love down here. That's our pitiful little kind of love. But not God. No matter what we've done. The Bible says there, even when we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Even while we were yet that awful, filthy, horrible, wretched sinner, He loved us so much that He sent Jesus here to die for us. Friends, we wouldn't do that for anybody. We see somebody wretched and miserable, we wouldn't send our only begotten Son to die for them. But He did, because He loves us. You know, when you fall in love with someone, you look at every detail. You look at every little thing about them. Now, I've told you this story before, how me and Mary met back when I was 16 years old. Invited to a revival meeting at Clear Springs Baptist Church. Been going there with my friend. And he was dating someone, and I'd not met her yet. And we sat in the choir loft up to the front waiting for the service to start, and he was telling me about her and everything. And all of a sudden the door of the church opened up, and she walks in, and he did like that, and he said, "That's my girlfriend." And when I saw her, my heart, I'll tell you, I've never felt anything quite like what it did to me when I saw her walk through the door. And I punched him back, and I said, "Not for long." And I was dead serious. I saw her, she walked in the door, and I fell immediately in love with her. You've heard that term, love at first sight. It happened to me. And so I believe it, and I know what it's like. But when you fall in love with somebody, you notice every little detail. You notice the color of their hair, the texture of their skin, the way they're made, the way they speak, the way the way they eat or whatever. But you pay close detail to that person because you are so in love with them that you examine them and you check them out and you look at them and you think, my goodness, what a creation that God has created that I have fallen in love with. Do you know that God, He loves you so much? He knows every little detail about you. He can tell you every little thing, every little minute detail of your life. He can tell you everything about yourself. He can tell you every thought in your head. He can tell you everything. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 12:4. The Bible says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he is killeth hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God." Listen to verse 7. "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God loves you so much that He numbers the hairs on your head. Husbands, men that you've fallen in love with, your spouse, your girlfriend, when you met her, how many times have you counted every hair on her head? You probably never have you? You couldn't tell her the number of hairs on her head. Now, some of you ladies have got it made. Now, there's not many to count, are they? You're counting the ear hair first. But laying all jokes aside, God, He knows every hair upon your head. He knows the count of it. We can't fathom the kind of love that the Lord has for us. Let's look at that next verse there in Psalm 4:8. It says, "Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and of Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards." Here the Lord, or the husband, is bidding his spouse to come down from the mountain. Come down from those heights that you're in right now. Come away from those things that are ensnaring you. Come down from the things that are occupying your time. Come down from all those distractions that you have where you're not spending time with me. Come down off of that mountain. The Lord is saying to us, I want you to come down and get rid of all those distractions that are distracting you from me, because I want to spend some quality time with you. I want to be with you. I want to love you. I want to be around you. And I want you to get all those other thoughts out of your mind. I want you to come down off of your mountains. I want you to get out of those snares over there. Get out of those dens of lions. Get away from those leopards. All those troubles and strife and everything in your life that's bothering you. Get away from all that and come to me, because I've got something better for you. Come unto me. He says, come. Come down off of there. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana. Come down, look down here at me, because I'm here for you. You know, let me ask you, if you treated your significant other the way that you treat God a lot of times, how long would your relationship last? You know, too many people take God for granted. You know, you've heard the sayings that, you know, women will say, "You just took me for granted. You take me for granted. You don't care about me. You don't remember all the things that I've done and all the times." If so many people, if we would treat our spouse like we treat God, we would not even have a relationship. We treat him like he's just there for our disposal, there for whenever we need him, there for, you know, times when we fall down on hard times. You know, some people won't even pray until something bad's come up in their life. They won't even talk to the Lord, but then yet they want to run to Him. Friends, He's there all the time. He's wanting to love you and be around you all the time. We shouldn't treat Him like He's just something disposable or something that we'll take for granted, because He's there for us and He loves us. If we treated Him like we, or treated our spouse like we treat the Lord, we wouldn't have a relationship at all. Oh Lord, if I don't have anything else, you know, hindering me, I'll come to church. And if there's nothing going on, anything important, I'll come and I'll spend some worship time. God, I'll read my Bible. If I ain't got anything else to do, if I remember, I'll try to remember. Lord, I'll see you on Sunday. I'm not going to be able to make it there Sunday night or Wednesday night, but I'll see you on Sunday. What if I called home from work and told my wife, you know, I've got some things I got to do. I'm really not going to see you. Probably maybe next Sunday, maybe if I've got time, I'll come and see you. But yet that's the way people treat God. But He says He wants us to come down from the mountain. Come down unto Him and visit with Him and stay with Him because He loves us. He goes on to say in verse 9, Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. That little phrase there, thou hast ravished my heart. God's saying that we ravish His heart. That word means that His heart is pounding for us. When He sees us, it makes His heart pitter-patter. He has love for us, and when He sees us, it ravishes His heart. It does something to Him. It fills Him full of joy and full of love when He sees one of His children. He loves us. You know, I remember back when I saw Mary that first time and how my heart was ravished. It was starting to beat hard. It was pitter-pattering. You know, that same thing has not left me. When I came home from work Wednesday night, and she was all dressed up and ready to come to church, and I come to the door and she's already all made up and standing there. And I'll tell you, friends, my heart did that little bit of pitter-patter like it did when I saw her that first time. That love is still there. It still gets me excited inside, makes me long to be with her and to love her. And that's the way the Lord is with us. He loves us. And every time that He sees us and thinks about us, His heart is ravished. He says, Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. This, what He's talking about, this chain, it symbolizes a treasure that the husband would give to his wife. A treasure. Oftentimes, the gifts that I give Mary is usually a necklace. It's always been that way. There's just something about it. I love to get them for her. And I spend a lot of time picking out the perfect one. You know, it can't be so cheap that it's going to turn her neck green. It's got to have that look to it that I know that she's going to love, that'll make her eyes glow, that'll look perfect on her. And so I'll spend a lot of detail and time picking out just the perfect one so that she can wear it and she'll be pleased with it. But you know, when God, He's talking here, His heart is ravished with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck, that ornament that He sees wrapped around us, around our neck, that ornament is something that He has gave us. It's the symbol I told you of the husband giving his wife. It's as Christ has gave to us this symbol around our neck. It's a beautiful ornament. It's that great pearl, that pearl of great price that God gave to us. It's that beautiful necklace that we wear, that Christ Jesus. When the Lord sees us and He sees that chain of the Lord Jesus around our neck, friends, it says it ravishes His heart. Oh, it's nothing that we've done, but it's everything that the Son has done. Through us, He does that through us. And when God sees us, He sees that chain of His Son around us. Another thing that I used to do is I used to write little poems and little songs, and I would sing them for her. Don't ask me to do that tonight. I'm too embarrassed. But I would write little poems, and I thought they were good, but I'm sure they were silly. And I would talk to her, you know, I'd read them to her, give them to her. And I made up little songs and I'd sing to her. And I'd do that because it gave me great joy to sit and think about her. I would think about our love and I would think about all the things that I love about her. And I'd write it down and I'd come up with song with it. And I'd want to sing it for her because I thought that she would really enjoy it. And I wanted to share that with her. Well, do you know that God, He does the same thing with us? Do you know that He loves us so much that He sits around and He sings about us? Listen to what Zephaniah 3:17 says. The Bible says in Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over thee with singing." To think that God loves us so much that we come to the thoughts of His mind, that He would actually think about us and love us so much that He would sing over us. Isn't that wonderful tonight to think about? Oh, friends, it just excites me tonight to think about it, how much that God loves us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Friends, just like that drawing of a man and a woman together, when you fall in love and you see each other across the room, or maybe you brushed up against them, whatever it was, maybe you met them in church, in Sunday school class, wherever it was, and you felt that love in your heart. God, He says here, He says, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." It was His love that drew you unto Him. His love reached down and touched your heart and filled your heart full of love for Him and want and desire for God. Friends, how wonderful it is tonight to know that God loves us. And, you know, a lot of times I say this a lot, and I know you get tired of it, but, you know, it seems like I preach to the choir. I preach to the faithful and the loyal, and the ones that are always here. But, you know, if there's any doubt in your mind about your relationship with the Lord Jesus, about your relationship with God, I pray that you make that right before it's too late. I pray that you look deep down inside and realize and understand that you are truly saved, that you truly do have that love down in your heart. And if you don't, I pray that you'll get down on your knees, you'll repent of your sins, and you'll pray to Him and ask Him to save you. I want to pray with you tonight. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord. I'm just kind of a wreck tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you, God, for the love that you have for us, Lord, and that you didn't keep it any secret, Lord, how much that you love us. God, I thank you also that you love us so much, Lord, that you expect things from us. You expect, Lord, for us to be faithful and obedient and loyal to you, God, and we love you, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, I'm asking tonight if there's one in this building that's struggling with anything, whether it be the doubt of their salvation, Lord, may they're backslidden. God, there may be something going on in their life that has overwhelmed them. God, would you just reach out and show them that love that you have for them? Lord, fill their heart full of it and help them with that tonight. For it's these things I ask in the precious name of Jesus. And amen.